We're going to continue here in 1 John. I was hoping last week to get through everything that I wanted to talk about on joy, but I got just a few more things to mention before we move on, and hopefully we'll get to move on today. We're going to read the first four verses once again. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so, We started there, first couple verses, we saw an introduction to the Word, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3, we had an invitation to the Word, to fellowship with the church and with His dear Son. And then this last verse, He gave us some insight into the Word. He said, "Here's what I want you to hear from what I'm about to write." And He said, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so we've looked at several things about joy, a lot of different things. I won't go back through all that, but I want to share with you before we move on. You may say, "Well, why is joy so important?" Well, joy is very significant in the life of a believer.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bible says in Romans 14:17, He says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink,
That's right.
but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." So the kingdom, the very kingdom of God, is joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's a clear sign that somebody is in the kingdom of God, is they got the joy of the Holy Ghost. You can't have joy of the Holy Ghost apart from being in the kingdom of God. And you know, we could carry on with that. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law."
That's right.
That's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that's singular. When you get the Spirit of God, you get all of those things. I believe that. I believe God gives you all of those things, and He conforms you to that through the Holy Ghost of God. And joy is part of that. When you get saved, Brother Jerry, if there's no joy, there's a problem. Nathaniel, there's nothing in this world that brings me more joy than being part of the family of God. And I believe that ought to make us all happy. And something that also that is significant about joy in the life of the believer, 2 Corinthians 1:24 says this, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith." This is Paul writing. He says, "But are helpers of your joy."
Yep.
"Helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." So what we learn is, as we read our Bible, is that we're to have joy, and while we have joy, we're to be helpers of others' joy.
Amen.
We're supposed to encourage one another in this thing. And we ought to have enough joy in this room that we all ought to be happy all the time.
Yep.
No matter what circumstance comes. The problem is we forget what we are, we forget who we are, and we get sidetracked with everything else that's going around, and we tend to let that joy just wane a little bit. But if we'd keep our focus on the things of God, man, there's nothing that could stop us. I mean, really. We would touch lives. But notice, Paul said he was a helper of their joy. But then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, so just the next chapter, then they helped his joy.
Yep.
He said, "My joy is the joy of you all." So what you found is Paul was investing in them. And then as he saw fruit come up in them, you know what it did for him? It brought joy to his heart. So that ought to be the way this thing works. You invest in me, I invest in you. We turn around, we invest in Africa and all these other places. And guess what they're doing?
Yep.
They're investing in us.
Yep.
Through prayer, through missions, through the reports that we get from all these missionaries when they come back. That ought to bring us joy to see what God's doing in those places. So joy is significant in the life of believers. And lastly, on this, I just want you to go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're trying to move through this quickly. Verse In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord," pay attention right here, "having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So you notice what was happening here. They received the word in much affliction, but it says still yet, with joy of the Holy Ghost. It says, "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you," you notice Paul saying, "not from me, but from you, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And so notice what strikes me about this passage. These people receive the word in affliction. And because they received that word in affliction, and it continued to produce joy, joy of the Holy Ghost, you notice what became of that? The next verse says, "So that ye were examples." He said, you became an example to all those around because of what God was doing in your life.
That's right.
They had so much joy in the midst of affliction that I think the people, the outsiders, those in Macedonia, Achaia, they heard of their faith. They saw the joy that they had. They were going out spreading the word of God so much. Paul said, you've done so well. He said, I don't even have to say a word. He says, you've reached out and touched people just by the example that you are. And man, I would like for this church right here, Amazing Grace, to have such an example in our community, Dustin, that we didn't have to say a word. That everybody around knew who we were, where we stood, but more than knowing us, that every time we were in the presence, they felt like they was in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I believe that's the kind of joy that these people had. Paul was commending them on that. And I would like for us to be that same way. He said, you've got such a testimony there in verse number 9. He said, how that you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God. There had been such a change, such a difference in their lives that everybody around could see it. And we ought to be the same way. Our lives ought to portray that. So you say, well, why is it such a big deal that I'm joyful? Well, you never know whose life you have an opportunity to touch. And if you're walking around with the mully grubs all the time. That's what my old pastor used to say. He'd say, if you're walking around like that, you're not going to touch people, Brother Stephen. That's why I love you so much. You come in, brother, you're so joyful. Don't you like to see that on people? When I come into the house of God, you know what I want to see? I want to see a smile on people's faces. Now, I know that sometimes it's hard to do, and sometimes we just completely fake it. But regardless of what's going on, there ought to be some joy in our heart when we come into this place. And we ought to, whether we can smile out there or not, when we come into here, we should be able to smile. And I believe that, Brother Jerry. I believe we can in spite of whatever circumstance that we have. God's done enough for us. We got enough to joy over for all of eternity. And in fact, we're going to joy for all eternity, Dustin, as we just praise the Lord for what He's done for us, just for who He is, what He's done through the Lord Jesus Christ throughout eternity. So I want to encourage y'all today, as we get ready to move on to the next part of this passage, I want to encourage you to be joyful. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee." Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. It's okay to shout. It's still okay. All ye that are upright in heart. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. We can always go to that well, can't we? Habakkuk 3:18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Brother Kevin, it sounded like he had made it a point in his life that no matter what, he said, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to joy. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. He said, I might not be able to joy in the circumstances that are around me. I might not be able to rejoice in the way I feel. Maybe I might not be able to rejoice in my job, but I can rejoice in one thing. I can rejoice in the Lord. Every one of us can have joy in the Lord today. And if you don't, it's not His fault. It is not His fault. He's done all of His part. He's never fell short one time. But He's always come through. He's always faithful. And you and I can both joy in that fact. Just knowing He's who He is. And He'll do what He said He'd do. He always has. Why would we think He wouldn't? He's never failed me once. Amen. So I appreciate y'all listening to that. It blessed my heart looking at all those things about joy. As we come back to the book of 1 John. So we've looked at the introduction to the Word, and we've seen the invitation to the Word, and we've received insight into the Word that's coming. Now what we'll find is the illumination of the Word. Verse number 5, we'll read down through verse 10. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Boy, verse 9 has helped me so much in my life. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Guaranteed. Well, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Man, I could stop right there and just say, Lord, I'm thankful that You're faithful. Boy, He is faithful.
Praise God.
Man, boy, He's been faithful to me. Down through the years. Oh, my.
Me too, brother.
I'm thankful for His faithfulness. But I'm specifically thankful for this faithfulness.
Yes, sir.
It said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That means He's right. He's right in it.
Yep.
He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar.
That's right.
And His Word is not in us.
Right.
But you see the thing about that that's ironic. It says that we make Him a liar. But you know what the Bible tells us? It's impossible for God
that's
to lie.
Right.
So you know what that tells us about us? It says if we say it, we're the liar.
We're the liar.
Never
right.
Him. It's always us. Well, there's people that run around and act like they've got nothing, that they've done nothing against God. Hey, I couldn't get up this morning and get here without doing something. Folks, I'm very aware. Brother Kevin, I fail.
Guaranteed.
Daily.
Yep.
Daily. All the time. Man, it's right here. It might not be right here. It might not be in my hands. It might not be in my eyes. But it's always at least up here, Brother Cliff. I can't go through a day. I can't go through an hour. It don't seem like where I don't have a bad thought about something or my attitude spring up and whatever it may be. But man, I'm always thankful when I come back to verse 9. We're not even to verse 9 yet, but I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
That if I confess my sins, man, when I bow down my head and I say, Lord, God, I know You saved me, but Lord, I'm still sinful. Lord, I need Your help, and I just confess I am what I am. Man, I can know no matter how I feel, no matter what I think, that He is faithful. Regardless, He said He would every time. I'm thankful for that. Now, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Does that ever mean that we are to go ahead in sin knowing He's going to forgive us? Absolutely not. Paul addressed that very clearly. We don't go on in sin But I am glad that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound.
Thank God for that.
So, as we come back to verse number 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So right here, the first thing that we see the consideration. I want you to consider this fact, that God is light. Apart from God, you know how much light there is? There's none. He's all there is, folks. If you want light, you cannot get it apart from God. And that's physical light, and that's spiritual light.
All of it.
If you want light, you know where you get it? You get it through the Lord. He's the only way to get it. In fact, he's the very source of all light. Genesis 1, 3, and 4. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
There was. Thank God.
I'm thankful for light, aren't you? And God saw the light. That it was good.
Yep.
And God divided the light from the darkness. You know, that's what he does in every sinner's heart.
Every sinner. Yes.
Boy, God saw the light. He said, it's good. There's a lot of this that's just a picture of his son.
That's right.
And boy, he's seen the difference that Christ made in every sinner's heart. And he said, boy, that's good. But he's the source of all light. He's the very embodiment of light. Look with me at Exodus 33. Verse 18, this is Moses. Most of y'all probably, some of you familiar with this, hopefully. It says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face or see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." You see, what God was telling Moses here, was it Moses, if you could lay eyes on me, it would be so bright you couldn't stand it, and you'd be consumed in the glory and the brightness.
Right.
And we'll see that at the end of the book. But God could not reveal himself as he was to Moses. He said, "So I'll tell you what I'll do, Moses." He said, I'll get you just as close as I can get you to seeing what I really am." And he took Moses. He said, "There's a place over here beside me." And he put him in a cleft of the rock. And hopefully you all understand where all that's what all that's about.
Amen.
And he put him in there, and as he come by, he covered him up. And as he got on by, he just took his hand away. And all Moses could see was the glory that was passing by from behind. He could just see his hinder parts. He said, "That's as close as you can get in your mortal body. That's all you can stand." Folks, God himself is the very embodiment of light. Physical, spiritual. We cannot handle all that he is. We can't handle his brightness. And Exodus chapter 34, just flip over the next page. Verse That rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, if you didn't catch on to that. Exodus 34, verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with him. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. It says, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. It says, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Folks, what a beautiful picture. How that God was so bright and the presence got so much on Moses that when he came down from that mountain, they couldn't stand to look on him. And that's a testament to him. You know what that showed them people? It showed them that he had been close to God. You know what we ought to show forth to people? We ought to be able to get around so much light.
Yes.
So much of his light that every day we walk out of this place, it ought to shine off of us to the point that people say, that's more than I can stand. We got to do something about it. That ought to be the desire of every person in here. I talked Friday night about our testimony. Man, our testimony ought to be so bright to people that when they look at it and they see that reflection of the Son of God, that they say, I got to do something about it.
Yep.
They've either got to hide from it or they got to get into it. One of the two. And man, what a beautiful picture of Moses. And we see that God is just the very embodiment of light. And here in 1 John 1:5, it says it no simpler than this, that God is light. God is light. And so I couldn't help, but as I looked at this, when I look up things, I always go back to that old Webster's 1828 dictionary. And of course, they didn't know all the things that we claim to know today, I guess. But here's what it said that light was. It said that ethereal, that means heavenly or spiritual, agent. That ethereal agent or matter. I didn't even know what it was. That makes objects perceptible to the sense of seeing, but the particles of which are separately invisible. In other words, what they were saying was, John, light is that thing that we don't really know what it is. That's what they said. All we know is that when we look out, there's light coming from somewhere, and it makes our eyes be able to work and perceive. But the light itself, I just look right through it. I know there's light coming out of these light fixtures. They're the source of it. Kevin, that one's shining right on you. But I don't see anything between it and you. You understand? I mean, I don't understand, but some of you are smart enough to understand. I don't claim to be. All I know is what it is it's a lot smarter than I am. And so that light itself is invisible. Now we can see the source. We can see that light fixture. I can look up in the sky and I can see the sun. But between me and the sun, I've been outside a big part of my life. And every now and then you might see a ray shining or whatever, you know, that's glared off something or whatever. But, Brother Rick, I look right through the light and I see you. Now, you know what all that's a picture of, right? You say we've got an invisible God.
That's right.
Who is the very source of light. He is light itself. And what does the Bible teach us about God? He's invisible. God is invisible. He's a spirit, the Bible says. And we can't lay eyes on God himself. But all we know, Moses couldn't see him. You couldn't see him. If we did, if we could lay eyes on him, it would kill us. And
that's right.
But all I know is that there was a day in my life that he made me to be able to perceive. He lit things up for me, and I could see. Never laid eyes on God, but I'm thankful that I can perceive some things because of his light. And that word means that. It can also mean life. It can also mean the illumination of the mind. And God is all of these. He is the literal source and existence of light itself. Spiritually, he's our enlightenment. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
That's right.
Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." If you want light down here, I'm talking about light. You know, mental illumination, spiritual illumination. You know where it comes from? It comes from God. He's the source of it. James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." If you're going to get any light, any illumination in this life, physical or spiritual, it all comes from God. In fact, the Bible says in the book of James that he is the father of lights. If you're going to get it, it's coming from him.
That's right.
Every good and perfect gift,
yes, sir,
cometh down from the Father of lights, the Bible says, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But I'm thankful for that. But as I think on all these things, and I'll be honest with you, as I read all this, my heart was just overwhelmed. And I told Kevin the other day, I said, the hardest thing about standing up in front of people for me, when I read these things, and Brother Dustin, as I'm putting them in my heart, and he's putting them in my heart, it's, Lord, how do I get them back out?
Right.
How do you portray something so good, Brother Rick, to everybody else that God made so special? And if you've ever been in this Bible much, you understand what I'm talking about. All you can do is soak it up sometimes, and Lord, all I know to do is say, Lord, just squeeze me and wring me out. That's all I know to say. And so I wrote this out because I didn't know how else to do it. But I wrote this as I thought on all this. God, who is invisible light, one whom we could never see. Brother Kevin, he clothed himself in flesh. He veiled the very brightness of his glory. So that people like you and like me could at one time finally look upon him. That is in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only effective means of illumination of man's heart. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. We have an invisible God whom we can't see. You and I could never see him. Never could lay our eyes on him.
Thank God, brother. Go ahead.
And he said, I want them so badly to see me. I want to manifest myself to them. I want them to be able to handle me, to be able to see me, to feel me, to hear me. He manifested himself in flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. He embodied that light,
yes,
in the veil of his body, the Lord Jesus. And he became a man like you and like me. And when you think about that, I mean, that just, I don't even know what to say that does for me. Thank Brother Doug that he cared enough about you and I that he took all that he was. Folks, I mean, if you've ever tried to wrap your mind around all that God is, think that he took all that. And he packaged that thing down and delivered that package right down here.
Right.
You see, the Lord Jesus was his gift to us, to mankind. And said, I've got everything packaged all up in one package. And here he is. And if you want God, this is how you get him. Here he is. And so God made himself available in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the only means that you and I have today to see the light. If you want light, light comes through Christ.
Hey.
Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. The Bible says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
That's right.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Yes, sir.
Verse 19. This is one you need to commit to your memory. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Hey, he said all things right there. If you're going to get in, it'll come through Christ. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
That's
right. Folks, I think that's real clear. He put everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased him that all the fullness would dwell in Christ. And I think in another place here it says that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
That's right.
Bodily. Folks, if anybody ever tries to tell you that Christ was not God in the flesh, they do not know. They do err not knowing the truth.
Right.
And you can just tell them the scripture is very plain. God placed everything that he was in his Son, wrapped him up in flesh, and sent him down here to be the propitiation for you and me. By him, the Bible says right here, to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be in heaven or they be in earth. No matter where it's at, all things. If you want to get in, if you want reconciled to God, you come through the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only means of salvation. And man, I'm thankful for it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm thankful for it. It's a real clear way. You want to get to God? You go through Christ. He said, I am the door. Real simple, ain't it?
Oh, yes.
Where are we at on times? Anybody know? We got to be about done, don't we? Hey, man, that's a good place to stop. I appreciate y'all's good attention. I can't hardly help it.
That's good.
I don't know how to. And I appreciate the Lord, and I'm thankful for his word, aren't you?
Yeah.
This ain't me. It's just what God said.